ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. Shout out to Mr. Ronnie, Mr. Anthony. May God bless your words this morning. You're listening to Lexington's fastest growing sports talk radio show. So give us a call, 859-381-1313. Or chime in on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Or you can email the show at bottomlinelex@gmail.com. On today's show, one team eliminated themselves from the college football playoff last night in amazing fashion. One coach takes some time off because he's getting his butt kicked. And of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, another huge week last week. We gave you Georgia Tech over Kentucky. We went 3-1 in our NFL games. So don't be a moron. Just put more on our picks. All that and much more coming up on today's edition of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. But first, experience is the best teacher. If you went to college, you probably had to read a bunch of books, many of which you don't even need today. But hey, don't knock the college hustle. But the bottom line is, you can read all the books ever created to get you prepared to go out into the world to begin your career, but you won't really know what you're doing until you actually get out there and start hustling. Ever start a new job where you didn't know what the heck you were doing? When I started here at ESPN Radio a while back, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Heck, most people around here will still tell you I have no idea what's going on, and they're probably right. But here's something I do know. I'm better now than I was 6 months ago. Why? Experience. I know more now about what's expected of me, and I know a little bit more about how to do my job. And if I go back and listen to those first few shows I did, it doesn't sound a whole lot like the shows I do now. But experience has helped me sound a little more professional on the air. Not much, but a little. And now I can run this show all by myself when I couldn't do it back in the summer. But do we put too much value in experience in college basketball? There's the story of the late Jim Valvano's career when Bucknell was recruiting Jim Valvano to be their coach, and their pitch was, we may have only won one game last year, but we've got everybody coming back. Even the guy with no thumbs, yeah, he's back too. Valvano took that job, and of course, we all know the rest is history. Kentucky basketball has faced a similar fate during John Calipari's reign here in Lexington. Extremely high preseason expectations on an annual basis, led by mostly freshmen that we couldn't pick out of a lineup before the season, and then a season that doesn't measure up to those unrealistic expectations. And yes, the 2012 team that won the championship did live up to expectations, but few others have. During this one-and-done era, a.k.a. John Calipari's entire career here at Kentucky, experience is the one thing that his teams have rarely had. And the one-and-done players are usually evident immediately. If they don't start great, they usually don't end great either. Even in Kentucky's 2012 undefeated national championship season, not undefeated, national championship, the Cats had a senior and two sophomores among their leaders in minutes played. But this year, Kentucky has no experience out there on the floor from last year. They had zero returning starters and a nation-low 7.6% of their minutes played last year returning this year. So what do the teams that have defeated Kentucky this year, all four of them, what do they all have in common that the Cats don't? Experience. Especially the teams that our friends in the desert didn't think would defeat Kentucky. Richmond, 2 weeks ago, they returned all five starters and had 94.3% of their minutes coming back. Kansas had three returning starters, 54.7% of their minutes back. Georgia Tech had four returning starters, 77.7% of their minutes back. And even yesterday, Notre Dame, they returned three starters from last year and had 45.6% of last year's minutes back this year. So although going into the season, Kansas was the only team that had defeated Kentucky that was ranked in the preseason AP poll higher than they were, the key to all the other teams was that they returned three or more starters and had at least half of their minutes from the previous season returning. Not a believer yet in experience? Let's go back to the last Final Four that was played. March of 2019. You remember that far back, don't you? Yeah, the good old days before COVID. Remember when Virginia finally won their national championship? Seems like a lot longer than 20 months ago, doesn't it? But let's look at the lineups for those Final Four teams in 2019. Of the four teams that made the Final Four, let's look at the most minutes played of those four teams. What year in school were they? Virginia's top five players, four juniors and a sophomore. Texas Tech's top five, three seniors and two sophomores. Auburn's top five, a senior, three juniors and a sophomore. Michigan State's, two seniors, two juniors and a sophomore. Did you notice anything about that, about those lineups? I didn't say the word freshman one time. All four of those teams, the top five players in minutes played on those teams, none of them were freshmen. And right now, four of the top five players on Kentucky's team in minutes played are freshmen. If I told you 6 weeks ago, without telling you the name on the front of the jersey, that a team ranked number 10 in the preseason AP poll would start the season 1-4, what would you think? Would you think it was successful? No, you wouldn't. You'd think it was a tank job like no other. But the problem with yesterday's game, which is the problem a lot of people sometimes have, is that it might have given the Big Blue Nation false hope. It's like the girl who's never going to date you, but strings you along just enough to make you think that you've still got a chance, when in reality, you have no chance whatsoever. So while you're home watching Golden Girls on a Saturday night, she's out partying and listening to ESPN Radio 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. So in case you missed it yesterday and you've been living under a rock for the last 21 hours, Kentucky lost their fourth consecutive game yesterday to Notre Dame 64-63 in a game that the Big Blue Nation is actually looking upon as a positive experience that you can build from. What? How does a team get a positive experience from a game they were favored to win by 7.5 points out in the desert? It shouldn't, but the fans seem to be happy. That's flawed logic. So what kind of Kentucky basketball fan are you this morning? It's the old psychological dilemma and question that you hear all the time. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? If the glass is half full, here's what you believe. Oh, this team finally started playing great yesterday. Finally played defense in that second half. And Olivier Saar, boy, he's the go-to guy. And now we've settled on Terrence Clark as the point guard. Go through these guys and let everybody else play defense, because Kentucky outscored Notre Dame by 21 points in the second half yesterday, holding them to only 16 points in the final 20 minutes. And the game-winning shot was in the air at the buzzer. And if the Devin Eskew putback, that would have counted if there had just been two more seconds on the clock. By the way, if this is what you're thinking this morning, you probably also believe in unicorns, leprechauns, and pots of gold at the end of the rainbow, and enjoy Where's the Beef commercials. Let's look at the glass half empty crowd. The team is 1-4. Yesterday was the worst halftime deficit in Rupp Arena history, 22 points, and at one time you were losing by 24. You looked awful in the first half. Olivier Saar is your only bright spot, and you're 1-4. The team is no better today than the night they played Moorhead. B.J. Boston, who I heard all preseason was a lottery pick, he hasn't been good at all. And Calipari can't decide on a rotation or a lineup to save his life. But what about this Olivier Saar? He's the best player you've got, but he's a transfer from Wake Forest. Wake Forest never came close to a winning record, much less making the tournament while he was there. And Cal keeps saying, oh, we're young, but he chooses this route every single year. Why is everybody happy with the second half? You lost to a team in Notre Dame that had seven scholarship players and had lost both games they had played against Power 5 teams before yesterday. And you know that the Big Blue Nation had to be beside themselves, down 22 at the half, at home to Notre Dame, a team in Kentucky that hasn't scored more than 64 points since opening night. This is the worst start for Kentucky in 36 years. Which was the last year of Joe B. Hall. If you're a Kentucky fan, you should be upset and tired of this revolving door roster. that leads to a difficult November and December almost every season, where fans are just trying to put faces to the new names in town. And not only should fans be upset, but the gamblers should be upset too. Calipari, now 2-3, gets a spread for the season. And over his entire career in the regular season, John Calipari hits 48.6% against the spread. That's not good. But other than the social media, where all the fans are ready to fire anyone in a moment's notice, the Big Blue Nation doesn't seem to be too upset about this. It's like when I was living in Atlanta during the Braves' 14-year division title run in the 90s and the 2000s. At first, the Braves fans were excited every spring. But after year after year after year of great regular seasons followed by October choke jobs, fans became immune to everything. All Braves fans wanted by the end of that 14-year run was just to get to October to see how the Braves are going to blow it again. Our own Todd Lanner, former UK player and a guy you can hear on our UK pregame show before every Kentucky basketball game, he tweeted this out yesterday during the game. "I have faith in this team, and I have insurmountable faith in Cal." And that's great. Todd Lanner knows more about basketball than I ever will. And from everything I know, he's a great guy. And having faith in this team and in Cal is great in the real world and a great thing to tell the Big Blue Nation. And obviously, Todd is biased because he played at Kentucky. And that's great. He has loyalty to the program, and God bless him for it. But in our world, the world where we're trying to handicap games and pick winners, faith in a team and a coach empties your bankroll very quickly. That's the kind of thinking that made Big Blue Nation say Terry Wilson was going to be the best quarterback ever because he had a new haircut and a new attitude this summer. Faith and new haircuts are great before the season, but once the clock starts running, it doesn't help you at all. And in my world, I could be on Kentucky one night and be a guest in the next night and not blink an eye. Why? Because I'm trying to get on the right side of these games. And that's more important to me than seeing your favorite local team win. If you feel the same way, you've come to the right place. And if you want people to tell you that this 1-4 team is just fine and you've got to be patient and have faith, then go across town, because I promise you that's what they're telling you this morning, because they're the voice of the Cats. And they have to tell you that because they're paying money to do so. And I'm sure after that second half yesterday, Big Blue Nation is yelling from the rooftops. Uh-oh, they're about to make a run. They've turned things around. But a 1-4 record for this program is unacceptable. I don't care if it's COVID or non-COVID. I don't care about anything else going on in the world. And I also don't care that Coach K is pulling a 1995 back surgery out of his old bag of tricks and canceling all his non-conference games. Like we said last week regarding Kentucky football and Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. And right now, you're 1-4. So what's wrong with this team? Is it the youth? Don't they use that excuse every year? Is it losing the assistant coach, Kenny Payne, who was a favorite of all the players? All I heard in the preseason was B.J. Bossen was supposed to be great and a surefire lottery pick. Well, he may be the team's leading scorer, but he's shooting 38% to get there. And the numbers say the team is actually better when Bossen is not in the game. And after yesterday's game, Terrence Clark is now apparently the new point guard. This comes after the other two point guards apparently weren't good enough. If you're telling me that it's early in the season I shouldn't panic, then how come it's not too early to change point guards multiple times? And it looks like Cameron Fletcher and Dante Allen aren't going to play hardly at all for this team. Of course, after I saw Fletcher get yanked yesterday for allowing his man to shoot three open three-pointers in 4 minutes, that was his ticket out of the game quick. But I go back to 2014 for all this one-and-done stuff. A year in which Kentucky was ranked number one in the preseason, but lost 10 regular season games. There were whispers at the time that the one-and-done system didn't work. Sure, it got a title in 2012, but 2013 was an NIT disaster. And now 2014 was a disaster as well. But a run in the NCAA tournament changed everybody's mind. That year, Kentucky defeated Wichita State in the second round, a Wichita State team that was undefeated going into the tournament. Fred VanVleet, who's now in the NBA, put up a three-pointer at the end of that game as time expired that would have won the game had it gone in. And if it had gone in, Kentucky would have been a second-round loser after being ranked number one in the preseason. Do you think the one-and-done system would be as welcomed by the fans then? That 2014 run was the deodorant that covered the stink. And the one-and-done theory was here to stay, whether you like it or not. Across town, they're trying to tell you that betting on Cal will get you in trouble financially. Betting against him is not the thing you should do. And you should bet on him in the future. No, you shouldn't. I can rattle off all kinds of historical data, and I often do on this show. We're putting your hard-earned money on Calipari against the point spread out in the desert gets you in the poorhouse. But, of course, they'll tell you, oh, it's all going to be all right in March, because it always is. Is it? Moral victories should not exist at Kentucky. And we hear the same refrain, with so many new players, it's going to take a while. And we were also told not to pay attention to losing streaks. Seriously? You're 1-4. And the fans aren't even showing up to games, COVID or no COVID. They're still not filling up the allotted tickets that you can have at these games. But let's look forward at this team. We try not to look back. We live through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. But not too far forward. We don't care about recruiting classes coming in years down the road. I always thought the Big Blue Nation would rather finish number one in basketball recruiting rankings than win the national championship. And I'm not exaggerating that. What good is the future in college basketball? You can't worry about next year in life. You got to worry about now. Even the good book tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I've heard Big Blue Nation, hardcore people, hey, that DeJuan Wagner Jr., he'll be here in 2023. Who among us is guaranteed to be here in 2023? It's 2020, and after this year, nothing is guaranteed. Forget 2023. The future is now. Your next two games, UCLA and Louisville. Do you win them both? I don't think so. In fact, if you ask me, you're probably going to lose them both. But what are people not talking about around here? Missing the NCAA tournament. Nobody has said a word about that yet, but it's a reality that's here. Let's say somehow you split the next two games, and then you start the season 2-5 heading into the SEC. You're going to need to go 13-5 in the SEC to make the tournament, or just flat out win the SEC tournament, and that's it. Oh, by the way, your only other non-conference game after UCLA and Louisville, Texas. And they're playing much better than Kentucky right now. Our friend Ken Pomeroy, the Lord and Savior of college basketball analytics, he currently projects Kentucky to finish 12-14, 10-8 in the SEC. Sorry, Big Blue Nation. 12-14 ain't making the NCAA tournament, COVID or no COVID. 2020 is a screwed up year, but it's the same for everybody. There's no excuses, unless you're Coach Krzyzewski at Duke, but we'll get to that later. This is a 1-4 team. Olivier Sarr is your only consistent scorer. You don't have a true point guard. Your other two point guards, Mintz and Askew, they're scared to shoot the ball. In fact, Mintz not shooting. Notre Dame was daring him to shoot yesterday in the second half. So let's look ahead. Kentucky, UCLA, and Cleveland next Saturday of all places. Don't sleep on UCLA. Currently on a 5-game winning streak with a decent win Friday night over Marquette. But what did we lead off this segment with? Experience. UCLA returns 5 starters from last year and 86.8% of their minutes played from last year. The only saving grace is Coach Mick Cronin. You remember him. He was at Murray State, then was at Cincinnati seemingly forever. Well, at UCLA, Cronin's cashing a lot of tickets. He's gone 22-13 against the spread at UCLA, including 5-1 this year. So he's cashing tickets when John Calipari's not. Both Ken Pomeroy and the ESPN BPI say UCLA will win this game. We think so too. Why? Experience is the best teacher. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Coming up after the break, more college basketball and some college football. But first, Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Outdoor Superstore. They had their grand opening back on Black Friday to raving reviews, and now their Christmas sale has started. They've got all kinds of equipment and apparel for the hunter and fisherman in your life for this Christmas season. I was in there a couple of weeks ago. They have their virtual archery practice range up, running in full force. It was incredible. And there are still a tent outside with post-Black Friday bargains as they're overstocked for the holidays. So go see our friends at Whitetail Heavens Outfitters Outdoor Superstore. They're located 3 miles south of Fayette Mall. And make sure to tell them the bottom line sent you. Coming up after the break, more college basketball, college football, and of course later on, our Mac Daddy Stogie picks right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. 381-1313 with an 859 area code. If you want to join in on the conversation, make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. Well, Big Blue Nation, I'm going to be on your side for this one, for once. Don't think I felt like I was on your side in the first segment. I am on your side in this one. What's the topic? Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils. They've played 4 home games this season, and they haven't left town at all, but they're currently 2-2 on the season, wins over 2 cupcakes, and losses to Michigan State and Illinois, and the Illinois game was a 15-point blowout. Immediately afterwards, what does Coach K say? We shouldn't be playing. So immediately, Coach K and Duke cancels all their non-conference games the very next day. We're out. For those of you that don't remember, it's a long time ago now, Coach K had another bad team in 1995, and he had, quote-unquote, emergency back surgery and bailed on the season in January of that year, letting his assistant coach run the table of losses the rest of the season. Now, I know there are people at this station who are very close to Coach K, and I respect that, but you also can't ignore the facts. If Duke was 4-0, and Duke would still be playing those cupcakes in the preseason non-conference. If you don't believe that, I can't help you. And you're talking to someone who cashed a lot of tickets and bracket pools by utilizing Duke from 1986 to about 1994. But as the old saying goes, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. And that's Coach K right now. Alabama coach Nate Oates came out and said what we all were thinking when Coach K canceled those games, that he backed out just because he lost a couple of home games. And he had a good point. Coach K was one of those coaches saying that they had to keep playing at one point, but his tune changed. By the way, Duke travels to Notre Dame Wednesday night. Don't want to play cupcakes at home, but it's okay to travel 1,000 miles to play Notre Dame? Okay, coach. Fan bases make the program. Just ask anybody at Rupp Arena yesterday. It's not the same, and you don't have the same daunting effect on opposing teams when you're the home team and you don't have anybody in the stands. And Duke, even more than Kentucky, has the biggest home court advantage of any team in America, and the desert gives the Duke more points just for being at home than anyone else. Coach K should schedule one more non-conference game to replace the ones he canceled. He should call Alabama immediately. Something tells me Nate Oates will pick up the phone. The problem is, Coach K probably isn't going to call. But that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Other college basketball yesterday. Hey, we called it last week. Go back and listen to the show. We said number 6 Illinois would lose to Missouri, and by gollies, they did. Missouri was a 3.5-point underdog. They win the game straight up over an Illinois team that had just come off a win at Duke. Number 16, North Carolina. Number 17, Texas Tech. They won, but failed to cover. While number 12, Tennessee, who finally started playing this week, congratulations, and number 20, Florida State, they both won and did cover. Big week of college basketball, sort of, if all the games stay scheduled. Today, here's a game we really like today. Number 19, Richmond, travels to number 11, West Virginia. You remember Richmond, don't you, Big Blue Nation? Yeah, it was only 2 weeks ago. You remember them very well. Here's our trend for that game. Top 15 teams at home in cupcake season, a.k.a. non-conference, on their second or more straight home game, those teams cover 57% of the time since 2005, including 4-3 this year. We don't like to take a lot of favorites, but we'll take West Virginia as a 7.5-point favorite today. We think they're going to run Richmond out of the gym, something that Kentucky had no chance of doing. On Monday night, number 21 Rutgers goes to unranked Maryland. Hey, we'll call for the upset here. We'll take Maryland unranked over number 21 Rutgers. Tuesday night, unranked Clemson, number 15 Virginia Tech. Talk about a team flying under the radar. Clemson, they've defeated Mississippi State, Purdue, Maryland, and last night Alabama so far this season. That was Clemson over Alabama in basketball, not football. Don't get carried away. That's the anti-Coach K schedule right there. So give us unranked Clemson on the road. They're going to take down Virginia Tech on Tuesday night. Thursday night, here's one you've been waiting for a long time. At least we have. Number 5, Kansas, goes to number 17, Texas Tech. The Red Raiders just waiting for this one. The number 1 defensive team in America in the KenPom ratings, Texas Tech is. So we'll take the lower-ranked team at home. It might be an upset. It might not. We'll take Texas Tech to defeat number 5 Kansas in this one. Then next Saturday, you have 3 very interesting games other than Kentucky and UCLA. Number 3, Iowa, plays number 1 Gonzaga on a neutral court in South Dakota because, as we all know, South Dakota is the haven for holiday tournaments. Iowa has the best player in this game. Gonzaga has the best team. It's not even close. We'll take Gonzaga. You'll have to give me 2 possessions if I take Iowa. And our 2 favorite coaches, number 18 Virginia, will play number 9 Villanova in Madison Square Garden next Saturday. Which 2 coaches in America are the very best against the point spread since 2005? The 2 coaches in this game, Jay Wright, Tony Bennett. Hard to take or go against either one of these coaches. If you give us a possession, I'm thinking Villanova will be a favorite in this game. If you give us more than a possession, hard not to go with Virginia, even though they haven't looked great this year. And, of course, the game opposite Kentucky and UCLA will be played right after it. Number 22, Ohio State versus number 14, North Carolina. It will also be in Cleveland. We'll take Ohio State in this one. North Carolina has lost decisively this year to Iowa and Texas. We'll take Ohio State. Don't know if it'll be a huge upset. Shouldn't be. Might be a small upset. We'll take Ohio State in that one. And those are your college basketball upset specials for next week. Act accordingly, if you know what I mean. ESPN Radio, 1392.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Oh, yeah. They're still playing college football. Last week on this show, we tried to find the fall guy for Kentucky's football failures this season. It wasn't Lee Majors. It was the offensive coordinator, Aidan Grand, who was relieved of his duties about 4 hours after this show ended, and less than 24 hours after Kentucky's final game of the season against South Carolina. So obviously this was in the works well before their final game last weekend. And apparently the big team meeting that Kentucky had last weekend will allegedly make a change in the bowl schedule, because now Kentucky apparently will be changing their minds and playing in a bowl game. Amazing how cashing that paycheck works when it comes to stuff like that. Follow the money on that one, of course. But it looks like Kentucky will be playing late December in a bowl game in Memphis or Nashville. So enjoy that, Big Blue Nation. There's a big difference between 5-6 and 4-7. So we'll hear about those matchups down the road. But as of now, it looks like Kentucky will be in a bowl game, Memphis or Nashville. Opponent to be determined. Probably in the next week, you'll find that out. And in other college football yesterday, number 6, Florida, should be absolutely ashamed of themselves for blowing their chance at the national championship against LSU in a game where they were favored to win by more than 3 touchdowns. Very nice. LSU upset Florida 37-34. 57-yard field goal with 23 seconds left. Set up by an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty when a Florida player threw an LSU player's shoes 20 yards down the field. Congratulations. LSU did it as a 23.5-point underdog, one of the biggest upsets in all the college football this year, and they ruined any chance they had of making the playoff. Even if they beat Alabama next week by 75 points, no 2-loss team has ever made the playoff, and they're not making it this year. So Florida, thank you for playing, but next weekend is finally it, the final weekend, apparently, allegedly, of college football in a season like no other. Of course, Alabama and Florida will be playing down in Atlanta, always the toughest ticket of the year in the ATL. So an 8-2 Florida team should be ranked way behind a 5-0 Ohio State team, right? Well, the Big Ten, God bless them, they changed everything, and they got Ohio State into the conference championship game when they said 2 months ago, no, you can't play in the championship game if you don't play six games. Oh, Ohio State is our only chance to make it in? Well, let's change that rule so that we can get Ohio State the only chance we have of making the playoff. Let's make sure that they get in. You know, like cards under the table. Little $100 handshakes that they used to have here in the 80s at Lexington. Probably way before, way after. That's neither here nor there. As we always say, it depends on who you are in life. Look at those teams Ohio State's defeated this year. Nebraska, Penn State, who's way down. Rutgers, Indiana, and Michigan State. And three of their last five games were canceled. Yeah, they deserve to make the playoff. And they will if they defeat Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game last week. Like we said, it's all about who you are in life, because they would never have done that for teams like Iowa or Illinois. Of course not. The SEC will be playing makeup games next week. Number five, Texas A&M goes to Tennessee finally. They keep putting this game off. And, of course, our pal Jarrett Guarantano, his final home game at Tennessee. Get your tickets now. You'll be able to tell generations to come that you saw Guarantano's final game. Vandy goes to Georgia, who are in there rolling since they put the right quarterback in the lineup. Amazing how it works when you get the right quarterback in college football. The Big 12 championship game next week, Iowa State, Oklahoma. Both those teams have two losses, so that means no playoff no matter what, so why even bother? And, of course, number three, Clemson, number two, Notre Dame face off in the big ACC championship game. If Clemson loses, do they make it? They shouldn't, because no two-loss team has ever made the playoff. But, of course, Clemson will cry foul with the COVID and keeping Trevor Lawrence out a few weeks ago at Notre Dame. Yes, the conspiracy theory, that was for real. So, of course, the playoff, it's going to be Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Notre Dame. With A&M hoping for chaos and anarchy to find a chair when the music stops. And that's all it's going to be for the rest of college football season. Sorry, that's it. Nobody else, Cincinnati, BYU, Coastal Carolina, thanks for playing. You're not invited. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Coming up after the break, you know why you're here. It's the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio. Our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, absolutely on fire right now, if I may say so myself. But first, St. John and Myers Jewelry, the best in the business, and offering high-class jewelry in Central Kentucky. Lewis and the staff at St. John and Myers, the perfect place to get your significant other what he or she deserves this holiday season. And if you order from their website, stjohnandmyers.com, use code LM150, and you'll get $150 off any order. That's a great deal for the holidays. That's stjohnandmyers.com, the best jewelry store in Lexington. Check them out, stjohnandmyers.com, and don't be afraid to tell them that the bottom line sent you. We go out to the desert after the break, right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. There you go. Back in black, baby. Thank you for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. Enough chit-chat. I've been going on about foolishness for 41 minutes. Make that 42. Let's get to why you're here. Our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, absolutely on fire lately. And of course, nothing like the league where they play for pay. The NFL. You can hear three games here this afternoon on ESPN Radio 1300. And of course, you can hit the Bengals this afternoon as well. But for our games today, Houston, the Texans, a one-point favorite in Chicago. Battle of the quarterbacks here. Deshaun Watson, third out of 39 in the Pro Football Focus ratings as quarterbacks this year. And MVP Mitchell Trubisky, 35th out of 39. Non-conference matchup features teams on the outside looking into the playoffs. The Texans, 4-8 straight up, 4-8 against the spread. The Bears, 5-7 straight up, 5-7 against the spread. The difference is Texans playing a little bit better lately, had a two-game winning streak snapped last week, while the Bears have lost six in a row, including last week as a three-point home favorite. Line opened up as Houston, a 2.5-point favorite. Come down a little bit, but the public always likes the Bears. So the signals, the respected money, buying low on the Bears as short home dogs. Of course, the dogs have done very well this year. We'll tell you more about that later on in this segment. But our favorite trend here, fade MVP Mitch. Mitchell Trubisky. I had someone ask me this week, why do you always call him MVP Mitch on your show? Well, let me tell you, heading into the last season, 2019, No player in the NFL had more tickets or more money on him to win the NFL Most Valuable Player out in the desert than Mitchell Trubisky. Not Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, nobody. It was MVP Mitchell Trubisky. We all know how that went. Since the start of the 2019 season, Trubisky against the point spread in his starts, 5-15 against the number. So is this a vote for the Texans? No, not really. They haven't been great shakes this year, but they've been better since they fired their coach. It's a vote against MVP Mitch. We'll take Deshaun Watson over Mitchell Trubisky any day of the week. I get the much better quarterback. Take Houston in a toss-up, basically, in Chicago today. Game number two, the New York Jets, 15-point underdogs at Seattle. And why wouldn't they be? Russell Wilson, MVP candidate, fourth best quarterback in the league. Sam Darnold starting for the Jets, 38th best quarterback in the league. The Jets are 0-12, 4-8 against the spread, but they just fired their defensive coordinator in a heartbreaking, using that term very, very loosely, loss to the Raiders last week when they gave up a Hail Mary in the final seconds, but still managed to cover the spread. That's all we care about. Seahawks, 8-4 straight up, 6-6 against the spread, but they are coming off a humiliating loss to the Giants, a game that we picked correctly here on the bottom line, when they were 10-point favorites. Line open Seattle, 14-point home favorites. The respected money seems to think this line is a little bit high. We've seen it kind of drop. There's a $5 fine for my phone going off. Of course, double-digit dogs in December are a great wager in the NFL. So that's one of our trends for this game. And another one that we just threw in there for slaps and tickles, fumbleless teams. The Seahawks haven't fumbled the ball in more than 3 weeks now. And when you fade those teams in the weeks after those, you cover the spread 54% of the time. It's kind of like the football gods getting their revenge. But, of course, the double-digit road dogs in December hit 58% of the time in the last 15 years. So give us the tanking Jets with a new defensive coordinator to keep it close and tantalize their fans yet again. The Jets will take them getting two touchdowns as they're in the lead for the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Two more games we've got. Washington, hail to the football team. They will be a 3-point underdog at San Francisco today. Shoe in MVP, comeback player of the year, not MVP, Alex Smith. If you didn't get your bets in on him early, it's worthless now. He's a gazillion to one not to win it. He's the 25th best quarterback in the league. Nick Mullins starts for San Francisco, 33rd best quarterback in the league. These guys have the same records, but all the momentum is with Washington. 5-7 straight up, 6-5-1 against the spread. Since Alex Smith has come in, they've won three straight, and they just beat the Steelers as a 6-point underdog, while the 49ers are watching their playoff chances slip away after falling to the Bills on Monday night as 1.5-point favorites, if you can believe that. San Francisco just 1-4 over their last five. This line opened. San Francisco is a 4.5-point favorite, although they'll be playing this game in Arizona. It's not really a home field advantage. We've seen the number drop from 4.5 to 3, so you might want to get on this one early. Get Washington, get those three points before it changes again. Our trend in this one, short road dogs. Washington has value as that short road dog. Dogs of 6 or less this season, 47-25 against the spread. That's 65%. That's a good trend right there. We'll take Washington getting 3 and one that should go down to the wire down in Arizona. There you go. There's your home field advantage. And game number 4, a game you can hear tonight on ESPN Radio. Pittsburgh getting 2.5 at Buffalo. Big Ben Roethlisberger, who would have been comeback player of the year if it wasn't for Alex Smith. He's the 16th best quarterback in the league. Goes against Josh Allen, the 7th best quarterback in the league. Bettors in for a treat in this one. Sunday night football. If the playoffs started today, Pittsburgh would be the number 1 seed. Buffalo would be number 3. Steelers have been great this year, 11-1, 8-4 against the spread. Don't let that last loss fool you. They fell to Washington as 6-point home favorites, but they've had a lot of games backed up because of the COVID. Of course, on the flip side, Buffalo, 9-3 straight up. They've been a surprise themselves. Josh Allen, much better than I ever thought he'd be, and a lot of others too. They're 7-5 against the spread. They've won 2 straight and 5 of his last 6. The only one they lost, that Hail Mary in Arizona a few weeks back. The pro money immediately passed on Buffalo as a short home dog in this one, but they flipped the line all the way to 2.5, and that's where it sits right now. Pittsburgh has value, and that's what we're looking for in this game. We've seen the total drop in this game. We're going to take Pittsburgh in this one. Primetime underdogs. All those night games you see. Primetime dogs this year. 25-14 against the spread. That's 64%. And, of course, just like the last game, those short road dogs of six or less, 47. They're still 47-25, 65%. Give us the Steelers. Once again, a little bit of short rest. Sprinkle some money on that money line as a straight-up winner while you're there. So the Steelers, we think they'll win tonight. So those are your Mac Daddy Stogies for the week. We're going to keep that hot streak going. Take Houston, giving up a point in Chicago. Take the Jets, over two touchdowns in Seattle. Take the Washington football team, hail to the football team, getting three against San Francisco. And take those Steelers, getting two and a half. Might want to wait till game time and hope that ticks up to three, the magic number in football. So those are your Mac Daddy Stogies. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up after the break, we'll talk to our good friend Angelo Carriero about what's coming up on his show. But first, Clark's Auto Service. You can check them out at clarksautolexington.com. They've been fixing my car for a long time now. And, hey, my cars are running as great as ever. All thanks to Clark's Auto Service, Bill Clark, Ethan Hall, the staff out there. They're as good as it gets. You can check out all their information, clarksautolexington.com. We'll get ready for the day on ESPN Radio right after the break here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. ESPN Radio, 1300, 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We're talking old school wrestling here in the studios, and that can only mean one thing. Angelo Carriero in the house. Angelo, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Of course, if you say wrestling on this station, people know Angelo must be around.
Of course, because some of us haven't watched wrestling since the 90s. You know, the good book tells us when you... You know, when I was a child, I had childish things. When I became an adult, I put away my childish things.
Wait. I quit watching when I was an adult, and then I decided that...
You're not an adult.
That I never will be.
Exactly.
So why?
We were talking about the old school tests of strength, when the good guys would overpower the bad guys, and then the bad guys would kick it right in the groin, and then point to the crowd as if they knew what they were doing.
Talking about that, rest in peace, Tiny... Zeus, name?
Lister.
Yeah, Lister.
Yes.
He was a wrestler against Hulk Hogan back in the day.
No Holds Barred, the movie, I think was the name of the movie. It was a movie, 1988-ish, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Angelo Carriero, at the top of the hour. Let's get out of this wrestling.
I derailed your entire show.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, you've been sabotaging this show for a long time. What's coming up at the top of the hour on your show, Angelo?
Well, Brad, I've got what I think is going to be an excellent show. It's up to you on whether or not you think it is. But I've got Coach Nathan McPeak of Frederick Douglass coming on, and I've got Coach Wes Johnson of Dunbar coming on to talk about their incredible seasons making it to the state semifinals and how their programs have been on the uptick. And then I'm going to give my comments on Eddie Graham, because right after my show, I actually alluded to it at the very end of my show last week, that Eddie Graham could be out of the door, and then about an hour later it became official. So I've had almost full 7 days to kind of sit and stew on it, and I finally have my opinion on the matter.
He's the fall guy. Somebody's got to be blamed for the season. It's got to be him, right? That's basically the bottom line on that, right?
If you say it's the bottom line on the bottom line, then it's the bottom line.
So the championships in high school, they're this week, right?
Yeah, they're coming up this Friday and Saturday.
Okay. So you're going to be there? Are you going to be there with
I might be able to make it for the LCA game. Of course, it just comes to where there are no fans. I get credentialed, and there's only one Lexington school in it, unfortunately. But I think that, you know, we're all rooting for LCA about as hard as we can to represent Lexington the best way possible.
Real quick, Kentucky basketball, they're 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see this coming?
No.
Are you panicking?
No.
Have you hit the panic button? No.
No.
Last time I talked to you, you said you had faith. You said you believed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have faith and believe?
I do, in a sense of it can't get much worse, I don't think.
0-5 would be worse, but I mean, yes, you're right. By the way, you still owe me money for that Georgia Tech game last week. I haven't forgotten that one. don't forget about that one. You're up to $20 in the hole right now. But yeah, so let's go forward. Next game, UCLA. Next game after that, Louisville. How many of those games do they win?
I don't want to be the good guy on this show. 2-0, and we're going to finish the 2020 out with a bang. But
I said just the opposite. I said you're not winning either one.
No, I do think that Louisville can be a win. I for some reason, Mick Cronin always does Mick Cronin things and plays tough and whatnot. I could see the UCLA game being tough, but just for the fan base out there, number one guy for Kentucky basketball, 2-0 in the year.
What if I told you that Mick Cronin at UCLA, 23-12 against point spread, including 5-1 this year? Do you change your mind in terms of expectations, knowing that Cronin has covered a lot of spreads and cast a lot of tickets at UCLA?
Hey, if I was putting money on the game, then I would listen. But this is I'm a straight up just money line. Like go for the team that I think will win and all of that good stuff. That's the reason why I never put money on anything, is because I think like that. So I see what you're saying, but no, I think we're all good there.
Make sure to tune in to the Angelo Show, where he'll tell you that he doesn't bet on sports, but he likes to pick the games anyway. I know you got the big pro football survivor pool coming up this on your show today. You'll be awesome as always. Make sure to listen. He's as good as there is in this business. Angelo Carriero. Thank you for listening to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. You can email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.